Morning, Way Fellowship Church. How are we doing today? Excellent. Well, my name is Eric, and Scott gave me a great introduction. I'm actually the friendly greeter guy that you typically see outside that awkwardly shakes your hand when you walk in and sends you an email. What's that?
It makes really bad jokes.
It makes really bad jokes, yes. But if you're a guest here with us today, I'm so glad that you're here. I apologize for not being able to meet you at the door, but I'm truly glad that you're here. You could have chosen a lot of places to worship, but you chose to worship with us, and we are very grateful for that. So we're glad that you're here. And today I'm actually going to ask you to open back up to Matthew 15. We're going to read it once again. If you have a pew Bible, that's going to be 827. It's going to be page 827. Matthew 22. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle him in his words. And they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully, and you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances. Then tell us what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" And they said, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Therefore, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And when they heard it, they marveled, and they left him and went away. So picture this for me. We're getting closer to the summer months. We're getting closer to May, to June, to July. So imagine that you are outdoors doing construction, and it's 1 p.m. in mid-June. It's about 100 degrees, 110 degrees, sometimes 120. You could boil an egg on the street. It's that hot. But you're asked to do outdoor construction starting at 5 a.m. that morning until 1 p.m. that afternoon. And once you're finished, you go to a concession stand nearby and seek to buy a bottle of water. Now keep in mind, you have had no breaks at all in the midst of doing your construction. And the vendor takes the bottle of water, you hand him the money, he gives it to you, but before he gives it to you, he takes a good chunk of it and drinks it and hands it back to you. How confused and upset would you be? What gave him the right to take what was yours for his own purposes? This is the question some of us ask, and what some of the Pharisees and the Jews ask in regards to taxation. Isn't this theft? I earned that money. What gives the governing authorities the right to take what isn't theirs? And perhaps you're justified in asking this question. But this morning, as we come to Matthew 22, 15 through 22, we see that Jesus comes at this issue of taxation from a different angle. We see Jesus approached by the Pharisees with the question, "Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar?" But it comes with an even bigger question. Is it lawful to obey our earthly governing authorities? And we get at the central truth today, which is this. We are called to obey earthly authorities in submission to God, our ultimate authority. Again, we are called to obey earthly authorities in submission to God, who is our ultimate authority. And there's three reasons for this. The first one being, we submit to earthly authorities because they are ordained by God. Caesar was the ruling authority over the people, the Jewish people. And the question of paying taxes to Caesar was a hot-button issue because the people of this day were heavily taxed for the work that they did. Kind of sounds like today, right? We're heavily taxed for the work that we do. And by asking this question, they are aiming to trip up Jesus. The wording here is to entangle him in words. By asking this question, they are either saying, oh, well, if he says that we are to pay taxes to Caesar, then he's basically putting aside the lordship that is God's. But if he says that we are not to, they could bring a charge against him to the Roman government officials. So they're trying to entangle him here. Instead, Jesus gives them a different response. He has them show the coin, and he says, well, that's Caesar's. And instead he says, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God's the things that are God's. So Jesus is getting at this idea here that the Christian is not supposed to be opposed to the government. The Christian is not to be rebelling against the government just because Jesus is Lord. No, he is saying that the Christian is to humbly submit to the earthly authorities. So what exists is the sacred and the secular, the civil government, and then there's the church. If we look at Romans 13, 3 through 7, it says this. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all who is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. And Jesus gets at this very concept here that Paul talks about in Romans. Civil rulers are to be obeyed because in spite of our disagreements with them, in spite of the governing authorities' immorality, or as some would deem, wickedness, they have still been allowed to be put in place. God has allowed them to be put in place for a purpose of justice in this earthly kingdom. Everyone is always going to disagree with a governing authority. Everyone's always going to disagree, whether it be a governing authority, whether it be a law, whether it be a politician. Just to give a little illustration here, just because it's just so recent. When our president was elected, opinions were all over the map. On the news, and in my case, I'm a millennial, so I pay attention to social media quite frequently. And it was just all over the place, with the left having their opinions and the right having their opinions about our president. Some would claim that he was immoral. Some would say that he was right to be put in place. The opinions were all over the map. And a lot of people were saying that our president had done immoral things. And some would even deem him to be a wicked leader. However, in spite of how you view our governing authorities or our leaders, God has allowed them to be in place for a purpose of executing justice on this earth in the civil sense. This is perhaps the most intense election because both candidates, in this sense, were deemed as immoral, as wicked by many. And the question remains, why follow a leader that is deemed immoral? Why follow a government system that is deemed immoral by many? But let's consider all the kings throughout Old Testament history. Let's look at Nero, for instance, who had Christians burned as candles. Let's consider Nebuchadnezzar, who had Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel thrown into the fiery furnace because they did not bow down to their gods. Now, we're not at that point yet where that's happening, but they were truly wicked kings throughout history Scripture's full of wicked kings to differing degrees. Even righteous kings like David, who was considered a man after God's own heart, still committed sins. He committed adultery with Bathsheba and even murdered the husband. My point is this, is that no matter how righteous or immoral a leader or a governing authority may be, there will always be sinful ways in which they act. And when we may not agree with the rulers that are over us, and we might deem them or the laws as immoral or wicked or theft in the case of taxation, we are to do so in submission to God, who is our ultimate authority. He put those authorities there for the purpose of executing justice on this earth. And while they might not do so perfectly in many ways, they don't do it at all. God has put them there for the purpose of his plan. This leads us to our next point, our next reason. We submit to earthly authorities because we fear God. Paying taxes, in this case, we may believe it is stealing, is a way in which we fear God. Doing our civil duties here on this earth is a way in which we fear God. It is a way in which we obey him. Jesus said, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's." So why do we pay taxes to a government that we disagree with and ultimately has many people in its system that oppose the gospel that we believe? Why do we do this? While we may strongly dislike or disagree with the wicked ways in which the secular government operates or the laws that it puts in place, God instituted them there by his sovereign hand. And he uses these rulers to execute justice, even as immoral as they may be. But here's my point. The major turning point of this. If we fear God, if we fear Christ, first and foremost, we can submit to, obey the laws of, and pay taxes to a governing authority that may not have our best interests at heart. Because here's the thing, is that if God, who instituted these leaders by his sovereign hand, instituted them, and they are wicked vessels, but they still don't have our best interests at heart, God still has ours at heart. Because even in the midst of the way that they are conducting the laws and the governments here on earth, God still uses them for the purpose of his glory and for the purpose of making his truth known, and for the purpose of executing justice, even if they are finite beings, even if they are finite and fallible systems. God uses the civil government to rule on this earth for blessings and for judgment. And therefore, we are to obey them because we fear God. It doesn't stop there, though. Jesus doesn't just say, "Oh, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's." Okay, done. He doesn't. He says, on top of that, yeah, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but also render unto God's what is God's. And that's perhaps the most important part of this. Obeying the civil government does not mean that we obey them if they openly and explicitly ask us to deny our convictions. So the issue here is more than just taxes. It's more of a question to, do we obey the civil government if Jesus is Lord? And here's the thing. If we are forced to agree with such laws, whether it be abortion, gay marriage, etc., we must take a stand. Because that denies our convictions as Christians. It denies the moral conduct that we're supposed to live by in Christ Jesus. And laws may be passed promoting these sorts of issues. And while we pray for our government and working community in hopes for them not to enact or strengthen laws that promote such sinful acts, we do not stand in opposition to them. We do not cease to do our civil duties in spite of the fact that we may disagree with the things that our civil government does, the fact that they have people in office that don't have our best interests at heart or may be immoral. We keep doing our civil duties because God has appointed them, and we fear God first and foremost. In context of Matthew 22, Jesus is saying here, give to the government what is theirs out of submission to me first and foremost. And the government is not our final authority. And not our God. Jesus is our God. See, the second that we give up our convictions is the second we say that person or that system or that authority is our God, not Christ. But Jesus is our God. And ultimately, the authority that we're under here on this earth is under his umbrella of lordship. Getting back to this whole idea that he is our ultimate authority. And if we pay taxes to the government, it's essentially that we are fearing God above all else. See, God has ordained the government over us, but they are not going to solve all of our problems. Those in our government are finite beings. They're fallible. They're going to mess up. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to do things that are immoral. They're going to do things that are wicked. And they're going to do some good things along the way too. God uses them for his purposes, to bring about people to himself and for his glory ultimately. So while we obey them in all things that are scripturally lawful, we are called to pay taxes. We are called to obey the law of the land. We are called to go the speed limit. We are called to pay that ticket that we were given by that police officer that pulled us over when going down the hill really fast. Because we are citizens of this earth, but more importantly, we are citizens of heaven. And because we are citizens of heaven, we obey the laws of the land peacefully. We don't rebel against our government when they do something we disagree with. If it doesn't directly affect or come against our convictions, we pray for them. We seek to peacefully campaign for change in reverence for Jesus Christ and in respect for them. As many who work in office are made in God's image. And it leads to the third point, which is that we submit to earthly authorities to be a witness to the world. Look in 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 2, it says this, "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. Furthermore, 1 Peter 2, 13 through 17, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good that you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor." The same kind of language is used here that is used by Jesus. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Honor the emperor, and to God the things that are God's. Give to God's what is God's. See, while we may perform our civil duties here on this earth, paying taxes, obeying the laws of the land, going the speed limit. They all fall under the umbrella of Jesus' lordship. And I'll say that over and over again, is that while the governing authorities rule over us in an earthly civil sense, they are not infinite and infallible like Jesus Christ is. And while we may get frustrated with our civil government sometimes, while paying taxes is not fun, while some of us would even deem it as theft, we obey our civil government in submission to Christ who has appointed them. See, this is a way in which we can also be salt and light too and be a witness to the world. Because in our world, when someone disagrees with something that a politician or a president does, you saw the whole campaign. When President Trump got elected, there was a whole hashtag not my president campaign that was going around. And people were rioting and causing protests and not submitting in peace. See, here's the thing, is that comes from a worldview that says that Jesus is not Lord. There's no peace in that. The government has the say over their joy. The government has a say over their peace. The government has a say in their eternity. But in Christ Jesus, if he is the one in whom our authority is ultimately in, then our civil duties fall under that umbrella. And one way that we can be salt and light in the world is by remaining at peace with obeying our civil duties. While it might frustrate us, paying taxes, paying our speeding tickets, obeying the law of the land, even if we might disagree with those in power. Christians are salt and light in a world that is desperately sick and deceived by the lies of sin. And this is the truth, a majority of our leaders and governing authorities that don't know the gospel. But we pray for them. We seek to see them come to faith. And a way we can be a witness to the world is by submitting to authority in all things, as much as it doesn't directly conflict with our convictions. And what I mean by that is this, is that we obey the laws of the land in all things. But what happens when we're asked to deny our faith? What happens when we're asked not to pray in public? What happens then? Do we just stop praying in public? Do we deny Jesus as Lord? No. We stand on his word as the ultimate authority over the civil government. The way we can be a witness to the world is by submitting to authority in all things, as far as it doesn't come against our convictions. And this is countercultural because a lot of times we believe that authority is bad. We come from a culture that believes authority is bad, but when we are obedient in our civil duties, such as paying taxes to the government, we exhibit a sort of humble confidence in something that is transcendent. And we say, while I do not agree with taxation, we may believe it is theft, I believe that God ordained for this governing authority to be in place over me. And I will submit to you as my leader while I disagree with the way things are going. I'll continue to pray for them. I'll continue to submit to them. And I'll continue to be salt and light and sharing the gospel with those who don't have that peace with the way the civil government operates. And that is, quite frankly, controlling their lives. See, when we are obedient to the government in spite of our disagreements, It shows our respect. It shows our reverence. In a culture that loves to, quite frankly, just trash our leaders. And it shows a certain amount of holiness and set apartness when we do. So there's something really strange when someone submits to authority in spite of disagreement. There's something different about that in our culture. What we are saying when we peacefully submit to authority, not that the government is my God, we're saying that the government is not my God, because look at it this way. It is foundationally built on the worldview that Jesus is my God. First and foremost, Jesus is my God. He is in control of all things, earthly and civil governments included. And if he is in control of all things, I can peacefully submit to them in spite of the fact that I might disagree with some of the things that are doing, because ultimately they answer to one person and one person only, and that's Jesus Christ. And the reason people get so bent out of shape when the government does something they don't like is because, even though they probably won't say it, the government is their sovereign being over their joy, over their peace. And here's the thing about earthly and civil authorities and anything that is created, any created being in any created system, is it will fail you more than once, numerous times. But I'm going to drive the point home. Why do we submit to God, who is our ultimate authority? This brings us back to our central truth. We are called to obey earthly authorities in submission to God, our ultimate authority. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God's what is God's." And if we submit to Jesus Christ first and foremost, church, then we can have peace with the way things are going here on earth. And if you pay attention to the news, if you pay attention to social media, which I'm willing to say that most, if not all of us, have, there's some things that the civil government and the governing authorities do that we disagree with. And we'd say are immoral. We'd say that are wicked. There's so much uproar going on over these things. There's people that, many of us even, that sit at our computers or sit at our TVs and see all the laws that are being passed and all the decisions that the governing authorities are making, and we just scoff and we worry. But my call to you today, if you're a believer and you're in here, and the civil government has you worried sick by the laws that are being passed or the ways that they're enacting, let me encourage you in this. Is that Jesus Christ is sovereign over them. There is nothing that they do that is outside of his ultimate control. It is under his umbrella of lordship that they operate, and he's completely sovereign and in control over all of it. And ultimately, his will for your life is that you would find joy and peace in being conformed to the image of his Son, which is what you were meant to be. And if you're not a Christian here today, and this has worried you sick, my encouragement to you is that you would turn from your worry and from your fears about how the government is operating. The government is a temporal, finite system that, yes, we do submit to and we pray for, but one day that's all going to pass away. My encouragement and my plea for you today, that you would turn from your worry, that you would turn from your fear, and that you would turn from your hope in a fallible and finite system, and that you would turn to Jesus Christ, who is infinite and eternal and outrageously good and has your good in mind from the get-go. So my charge is this. First and foremost, before you even think about submitting to any earthly authority or rebelling against any earthly authority, is that remember this. Submit, repent, turn to Jesus Christ first and foremost. Because that is the authority by which all civil governments and all civil duties fall under. And if you submit to Jesus Christ first and foremost, you can do your civil duties in peace. You can watch the news, you can look at social media, and all these things in peace, knowing that God is in control of it all. And that by turning to Him in faith and believing, you can have ultimate peace and eternity in Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so thankful for your word. We're so thankful for the truth that, Lord, even though we are ruled here on earth by the government, which you did ordain, Lord, and which you did give us, Lord, that you're in control of it all. And Lord, we do pray for our governing authorities. We do pray for our leaders. Lord, we pray for them and that they would make sound decisions that are guided by your sovereign hand. And Lord, that we would not worry, that we would not fear, but that we would render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but give our worship to you. Lord, we're so thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ, who made a way for us, that by turning to him in faith, we can have peace, we can have hope. So Lord, we pray that you would help us to remember that in the midst of all things on this earth, all civil things, Lord. And we lift this up to you in your name, we pray and believe. Amen.